Sports Week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Coming up on Monday's show, I'll chat with the first female head coach in the Men's Basketball Africa League. Also, the Los Angeles Lakers lift the NBA Cup after winning the National Basketball Association's inaugural in-season tournament. And I'll also talk with my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro, about the weekend highlights in English Premier League football. For the third year in a row, Australian coach Liz Mills has guided a team to qualification in the Basketball Africa League. In 2022, Coach Mills was in charge of AS Salé when the Moroccan team qualified. In 2023, she took ABC Fighters of Ivory Coast to the BAL tournament. And for 2024, Coach Mills has led Bangui Sporting Club of Central African Republic to its first appearance in the BAL. And Coach Liz Mills joins us now from Sydney, Australia. Sporty greetings, Coach, and welcome back to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hi, Sunny. Thank you so much for having me back on the show.
First off, Coach, congratulations on Bangui Sporting Club qualifying for the 2024 BAL season. What's been the reaction in the CAR on the country being represented in the BAL for the first time?
Thank you so much, Sonny. I had an amazing experience working with Bangui Sporting Club in Cameroon for the West Division BAL qualifiers. I'm so proud of the team for qualifying for the BAL for the first time, and we had amazing support from not only the people within Central African Republic, but from the entire diaspora from around the world. One of our goals throughout the tournament was to make sure we made our friends, family, and supporters proud. And I know with our performance we did. And we look forward to continuing to represent them well in the BAL next season.
Coach, can you reflect on the team's road to BAL qualifying campaign? What were a few of the team's key moments or games?
Ironically, one of the key moments of our campaign was the first game of the first round of the BAL qualifiers, where we lost to the team from Gabon. This was one of our two losses throughout the tournament, but it was crucial because leading into the first round, we were one of the favorites in our group. And to lose so unexpectedly to a team that was below us in the rankings was the shock that we needed, in a way that it was a catalyst for us to regroup and refocus and to respect every single opponent that we were going to face, regardless of their experience at continental level. And I strongly believe that if we hadn't have lost that game, we wouldn't have ended up qualifying or winning the championship in the West. I think another key moment for us was the game against FAP from Cameroon to win the first round group. And for us, we were down a lot of the game, and then we came up and FAP fought back. And I think it was a great game that showcased our resilience and ability to handle another team's momentum and respond in a great manner. Very proud that we ended up, after losing that game to Gabon in the first game, to beat a quality team in FAP who has more experience, they've played in the BAL, and for us to have beaten them by 1 point to top the group was a very important win for us. And then I'd say the final key moment of our campaign was defeating Ahali Benghazi from Libya to qualify for the BAL. This was a team that was stacked with all-stars, big budget, big recruits, and everybody expected them to easily handle Bangui. But we had really progressed as a team from our first game of the first round all the way through to the semi-final game. And I was so proud of our ability to come from behind. They were up until the last couple of minutes of the game, where we fought back and we ended up winning that game on a buzzer beater. And for our captain to have scored, that was just a beautiful way, poetic, for us to qualify for the BAL. And it was a great journey from start to finish. And I think for me, being able to work with a team like this, where you have great locals, great imports, and defense was a key aspect of the game that we wanted to focus on, and it all came together and allowed us to not only qualify for the BAL, but to also win the Western Conference title.
Coach, as you're aware, the BAL will be holding games in South Africa for the first time in 2024. How would you describe basketball development in South Africa?
I think it's a great move by the BAL to expand to a third market. Obviously, South Africa is one of the biggest economies in Africa, so from a marketing perspective, it makes sense. Basketball in South Africa has had its ups and downs, and hopefully with BAL bringing their product to the market there, this will help really develop the game in the country. Unfortunately, over the last couple of years, the domestic league has been floundering. They haven't really run a domestic league properly in the last 5 years, and their national team hasn't participated since 2017. So hopefully this move is a catalyst for not only the federation to kick back into gear and really work, inspire them to put a domestic league in place and to continue to develop basketball in South Africa. A strong basketball environment in South Africa is only a positive for the entire continent.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm talking with Liz Mills, the head coach of Bangui Sporting Club, which has qualified for the 2024 Basketball Africa League season. Coach, as you prepare for the 2024 season, are there specific areas on Bangui SC you would like to see improve?
Every coach is always looking for ways to improve their team. So, of course, heading into the 2024 BAL season, there's lots of areas that I think we can improve in offensively, defensively, from a personnel perspective, even myself as a coach. And that's what's so exciting. And with the group, the core group of players that this team has, the ability to build on the foundation that we implemented in the BAL qualifiers is a huge advantage for us. And I think that's the beauty of BAL qualifiers, especially the teams that come through the first and the second round of those qualifiers. We have that ability to build on that development, whereas a team that automatically qualifies for BAL doesn't get that preparation time. And so it's an advantage for us. But in terms of the nitty-gritty areas of improvement, I'm going to keep that up my sleeve. I don't want to give too much away to our opponents as we head into the 2024 season. But I do know that we're looking forward to, as a team, continuing to build, get better, and really have a strong presence in the BAL. We're not looking to just participate for the first time. We're looking to go out there and compete, and I'm really excited about the prospects of this team for the 2024 season.
Finally, Coach, NBA Africa recently announced the first junior NBA league in South Sudan will tip off in early 2024. South Sudan made a successful debut at the 2023 FIBA Basketball World Cup and will also participate in the 2024 Olympic Men's Basketball Tournament. How important are these junior NBA leagues? And do you see South Sudan as the new power in African men's basketball?
I think the junior NBA programs are crucial. I think the grassroots development of players and coaches across the continent is one of the three key pillars for development of the game in Africa. So I'm really excited that the NBA Africa are launching a league in South Sudan come early next year. I'm also really excited to see the rise of South Sudan, not only in Africa, but also in international competitions like the World Cup and next year at the Olympics. Now for me, yes, they are one of the best teams in Africa, but are they the best yet? No. They need to win an Afro basket. They need to beat a fully stacked Nigeria team. They need to consistently beat Senegal. They need to show not only at the continental level can they dominate, and then once they do that, what are their results at international competitions. I think going to the World Cup this year was a great experience for them. And once they can get there and make it to the second round and then, you know, full start pushing for the quarterfinals, semifinals down the line, that's when, you know, they're really going to be leading the way for Africa. And I cannot wait to see that happen.
Thanks, Coach. That's Liz Mills, the head coach of Bangi Sporting Club. And she spoke with me from Sydney, Australia.
Sporty greetings. This is Liz Mills. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Pro basketball. The Los Angeles Lakers lifted the NBA Cup over the weekend after winning the league's inaugural in-season tournament. The Lakers beat the Indiana Pacers 123-109 in the final in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now a sold-out crowd of more than 19,000 fans watched the game at the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. And the Lakers definitely had the home court advantage. Lakers fans outnumbered Pacers fans by at least 20-1. Anthony Davis and LeBron James were the 1-2 punch for the Lakers. Davis finished with a game-high 41 points and also had 20 rebounds and 5 assists.
We feed off one another. You say Thursday, Bron had it going. Tonight, you know, it was me, and he still did his thing. But it just wasn't us two.
As AD just said, LeBron still did his thing. He finished with 24 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 assists, and was named the tournament's most valuable player. LeBron's performance also probably helped support his case to one day own a NBA franchise in Las Vegas.
Listen, everything is here. I mean, it's a place that love, great attractions, and I think the NBA will be another great addition to the city. Obviously, we see the success with Summer League and things of that nature and the Aces as well. So it'll be fun.
Meanwhile, Austin Reeves came off the bench for the Lakers and scored 22 of his 28 points before halftime. He comments on the importance of lifting the inaugural NBA Cup.
It means a lot. There's the sports in LA is, you know, I think second to none. And just to be in a place that, you know, loves the, you know, game of basketball, one, but sports in general is sweet. And, hopefully we can bring the city, you know, championships, you know, throughout all sports.
Austin Reeves and each Lakers player earned a $500,000 bonus as tournament champions, while each Pacers player took home $200,000 as the runners-up.
Hi, I'm Larry London from Border Crossings. Welcome to VOA throughout Africa. We're glad you're with us. And I want to remind you, we've got our Tuesday Spotlight Artist of the Week every week on Tuesdays. And it starts in December. December 12th, Babyface, who's nominated for so many Grammy Awards. He's had 26 number one songs. It was such a thrill to talk to Babyface. And you can hear that conversation on December 12th at 1500 Universal on Border Crossings here on The Voice of America.
English Premier League football. Liverpool moves to the top of the table after a 2-1 road win over the weekend against Crystal Palace. Egyptian star Mohamed Salah scored Liverpool's equalizer in the 76th minute and set up the team's second goal by Harvey Elliott late in the match. Liverpool's victory, coupled with Arsenal's 1-0 loss to Aston Villa, gives the team first position with 37 points. Arsenal is second with 36 points, and Aston Villa has 35 points. Joining me now for more EPL insights is my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Mukbil, let's begin with Salah. He's one of three nominees in Marrakesh this evening for the CAF Player of the Year Award. The other two are Ashraf Hakimi of Morocco and Paris Saint-Germain, and Victor Osimhen of Nigeria and Napoli. If, and it's a big if Salah wins, Mukbil, it would be his third CAF Player of the Year award. Who do you like there, Salah, Hakimi, or Osimhen?
Sonny, that's tough. Three very different players. They all are very, very important for their respective teams. If I was to pick one of the three just within the last year and not a totality of their career, I would say Victor Osimhen, just simply because what he did for Napoli within the last year has just been, it's been outrageous. He's just been a scoring machine, and really has assisted Napoli in, you know, getting all the wins possible. He's been a very, very difficult center forward to guard. And in that same breath, really, that I'm saying that in, he had a somewhat of a fallout with Napoli due to some social media post that was posted. And I believe that his team, his agent and himself, are still looking to move within that transfer market. They said that everything is fine. He's still going to enjoy his time in Napoli, but there have been links between him and trying to move to the EPL. Possible that he is looking at either Arsenal or Chelsea. And yeah, I think if he makes that move to the EPL, it's gonna be huge. I think EPL is still the strongest league in Europe, so seeing how he would do there would, you know, take him, I believe, to that next level. But yeah, I like Victor, and it'll be interesting to see how he does as well with AFCON as well, playing for Nigeria.
Mukbil, very tight race in the EPL right now. I mentioned Salah starring for Liverpool over the weekend. Aston Villa defeats Arsenal 1-0. Aston Villa got a early goal from the Scottish midfielder John McGinn. Your thoughts on that match?
Gunny, as an Arsenal fan myself, I believe that Aston Villa is one of the most dangerous teams in the EPL this season. When you look at them across the board, they're a very, very complete team. One could say that they're maybe missing, you know, a superstar, you know, like one player away from maybe kind of just getting everything. But realistically speaking, when you look at that team, they are a solid team from the front, mid, to the back. And then more importantly, it's the level of confidence that they have within themselves, right? When asked, the Aston Villa squad said that we are not scared of Arsenal. So I think, yeah, this is a team to watch. You got to be very, very mindful on how you play them, especially when you play them at home. They're coming off of, I believe it was 13 wins at Villa Park. This makes 14 for them. The last loss that they had there was to Arsenal back in February.
I think it might be 15 in a row for Aston Villa, Mukbil.
Very possible, very possible. Nonetheless, they've been able to put together a very, very strong campaign of winning at home. If we just look at the stats, the game was, I would say, they had a decent amount of shots, but ball possession, Arsenal had 62% ball possession to 38%. Similarly, last week when we were talking EPL action, Sonny, I always mention this. Ball possession means nothing if you're not able to convert. And the biggest problem with this Arsenal team seems to be that, you know, they create opportunities for themselves, but are just unable to. They don't have that specific player who is surgical at the top. And I think if Arsenal wants to win the league this season, they need to find a center forward that really is just surgical at the top. That's the only position that I feel as though they are lacking. They have everything else. Even in certain games when you see when they score multiple goals, it's usually just, you know, everybody's getting involved. And it's great to have multiple goal scorers, but it just really means that there is an inability for the team to get behind their one guy. When you look at City, when City's really, really looking to score, they're looking for Haaland. And if they're not looking for Haaland, because Haaland is being doubled, it creates opportunities for others to be open. So I think Arsenal needs that, you know, that center forward that's going to be able to, you know, move players and get other players open in order for them to potentially win it. But Aston Villa is, as I mentioned, very scary team. They're very physical. They're not scared, and they are coached very well with Emery. Coach Emery, having had a past with Arsenal as well, used to coach Arsenal. So I'm sure this was a win that he and his boys will be very, very happy about moving forward.
Mukbil, you mentioned Erling Haaland. He was sidelined on Sunday because of a foot injury, but defending champion Man City rallies to beat Luton 2-1. Goals from Bernardo Silva and Jack Grealish in a 3-minute span gave Man City that victory. Some interesting quotes from Pep Guardiola after the match, Mukbil. He said, and I quote, "City is over already, people have been saying. This is the challenge that we have ahead of us. Prove them wrong and still be there." And they're definitely still there, Mukbil. Just 4 points behind top of the table Liverpool. Your thoughts on Man City's performance Sunday?
Yeah, before we get to Man City's performance, Man City was able to, you know, come from behind and still get the job done. That's what champions do. That's championship pedigree. So we get that. But let me talk about Luton Town for a second. Luton Town is a team that this is their first go around in the English Premier League. They've never been in this league before. And it's kind of, it's amazing at what they've been able to do, but at the same time, kind of sad and disappointing that they're unable to get some kind of points away from some of these really, really good games that they're playing. You know, you go ahead against, Man City in the first half, you're up 1-0, then you're still not able to keep it at, you know, 1-1 even, or you're not able to get the win. You know, that inexperience and being there really has been unfortunate for this team. This team has given a very, very difficult game week in, week out for multitude of teams. You know, if you just look at it, you know, Arsenal similarly, Arsenal was able to beat Luton Town in the 96th minute, really. You know, so this is a really, really solid team, but it just goes to show you also what that means. The EPL, it doesn't matter who you're playing. If you're playing a team that's in relegation or if you're playing a team at the top, it's always going to be tough. Now, on to Man City. City has been having this trouble just because of the fact that, you know, their midfield was always what was moving this team forward. Kevin De Bruyne has been, or was, the heart and soul of that team, made everything easier for everybody else because he's arguably one of the best midfielders in the world, right before his injury. Him coming back, I believe, is going to change their trajectory, and you'll start seeing the rest of City play a lot more comfortable when he's back. Him and Rodri in the mid should really create that that flow that Erling Haaland loves so much. There have been updates that KDB may be back as early as mid-December. And that's, you know, him fast-tracking. People initially were expecting him to come back in January or February. So he comes back mid-December and is really able to get, you know, some games in before the new year. I think this Man City team is going to be a very, very dangerous team to watch in all comps.
Finally, Mukbil, I did promise a couple shout-outs for African players. The second one goes to Simon Adingra. He's Ivorian, and he scored the equalizer for Brighton in their 1-1 draw with Burnley. Adingra, another player we might see at next month's Africa Cup of Nations, Muckville.
Yeah, I definitely would believe so. I think anyone that's putting together a nice little bit of scoring prior to the competition, sometimes we have recency bias. So if you're able to get on the score sheet in the EPL in December, best believe it, a lot of coaches will be calling a lot of these African players. So yeah, kudos to these players, man. It's going to be an exciting tournament for sure. And I know players just love playing for their home country. So they're going to bring that extra edge when they get to AFCON as well.
Talking English Premier League football with Muckbill Yabaro. Thanks, Muckbill.
Thanks, Sonny.
African club football now, and Samson Omale has an update on the CAF Confederation Cup competition.
Former champions RS Bakane maintained their impressive run in the group stages of the competition after securing another win when they played host to Durbel's Noors on match day 3 of the group stages on Sunday evening. A first half goal by Yusuf Zahoudi in the 28th minute, coupled with an early second half strike by Mohamed El Marabit in the 54th minute, meant the Moroccans stretched their lead to an impressive 5 points in Group D with an impressive 2-0 victory at home. In Nigeria, clinical finishing by captain Nyima Nwangwa gave Rivers United of Nigeria a 1-0 victory over Club Africain of Tunisia on Sunday. Victory not only lifted Rivers to 6 points, it ended the perfect run of 2011 runners-up Club Africain in Group C. Group A leaders USM Algiers edged Modern Future of Egypt 1-0 in Algiers through a 65th-minute goal for Malian Abdoulaye Kanoe, his first of the African campaign. South African club suffered a disappointing run with Sekwane United held to a goalless draw at home by Stade Malien of Mali in Group D, while SuperSport United lost 2-1 away to Al Hilal of Benghazi of Libya in Group A. The CAF Confederations Cup action resumes on Wednesday the 20th of December with match day 4 of the group stages taking center stage as the race towards a place in the knockout stages continues across the continent. Staying with football news, CAF will award the honors of the Player of the Year on Monday in Morocco. Nigeria's Victor Osimhen, Mohamed Salah of Egypt and Ashraf Hakimi of Morocco have been named in the CAF Player of the Year final three-man list for the men's category. Nigeria's Victor Osimhen, who finished as the top scorer in the 2023 Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers, was instrumental in his club's Napoli Scudetto success last season, winning the Golden Boot after scoring 26 goals. Johnny Edwards is a sport editor for Punch Newspapers in Nigeria. He believes Victor Osimhen may likely pick the top player award.
Considering what he has done for Napoli and Nigeria in the year under review, having helped Napoli clinch the Scudetto the first time in 33 years, as well as also to helping Nigeria qualify for the Africa Cup of Nations, finishing as a top scorer in the qualifying series. So I think it's a good swap. He has done very well for Napoli. I mean, like I said, for club and country, compared to what Salah has done for Liverpool.
In basketball, the inaugural edition of the African Women Basketball League gets underway on Monday, 11th December, with 10 teams taking part in the competition. Previously referred to as the FIBA Africa Champions Cup for Women, the 9-day competition starts with a clash between Cameroon's University of Douala taking on Nigeria's Customs. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. Finally, after a health scare, Bronny James, the 19-year-old son of Los Angeles Lakers basketball star LeBron James, made his much-anticipated college debut Sunday for the University of Southern California. Bronny took the court for the first time since he suffered cardiac arrest during a team workout in July. Following consultations with medical experts, it was determined that Bronny had a treatable congenital heart defect, and he was cleared to return. In 17 minutes of action, the freshman guard finished with 4 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. Southern California lost the game to Long Beach State 84-79 in overtime. Great to see Bronny James on the basketball court. And that wraps up the December 11th edition of the show. Thanks to producer Muckbill Yabaro. Thanks also to engineer Vasco Vlahovic, and thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.